Again, one's going to lead that song this morning. And so I was thinking about the words of the songs that we are singing and to praise and glorify and honor our God. It's a wonderful thing to be able to sing songs of praise to our great and matchless God as we pay attention to the words they teach and they admonish one another. Let's think about the song. In a lot of the song books, it's not concerning ours, as who was written by Johnson Oatman Jr., and I'll tell why it came about to whereby it says J.W. Dennis in our book concerning the author and the melody. But we talked about Johnson Oatman Jr. before, talking about Higher Ground. He lived from 1856 to 1922. The melody arranged by John Wesley Dennis, 1866 to 1947. And it's not often the case. We're going to talk about as far as John Wesley Dennis's parents were Christians. They were members of the Church of Christ. And we look at the examples of all the singing that he would have heard growing up. And at about the age of 20, he went to a singing school and learned to read and write music. And basically most of the rest of his life was involved in that. He married a Christian also, and they raised six children. In 1922, which you notice that was the year that Johnson Oatman Jr. Passed away, while getting ready for one of his singing schools, he contacted Oatman Jr., who died later that year, and asked him for some poems that his students could set to music. And among those poems was "I'll Be a Friend to Jesus." And so when he saw it, he immediately decided to provide a melody for it himself. And after working on it for 2 years, first published it in 1924. And that's probably why in our song books that it mentions John or J.W. Dennis or John Wesley Dennis. But as we look upon the importance of the words of the hymn, very powerful words. "They tried my Lord and Master with no one to defend. Within the halls of Pilate, he stood without a friend." You look upon the disciples of Jesus, and John 13 is an example here of what Jesus, he's talking about his disciples, what they're calling him. And Jesus is setting forth an example of love, which he talks about much in this in the hymn here. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Lord and teacher, they often called him master. And recognized as Jesus was going to tell them, you know, he was going to be tried and he was going to be crucified. And he told them that many different times. In Mark chapter 14, in verses 43 through 50, in Mark's account, in Mark chapter 14, in verse 43, we see here concerning that those who should have been the ones to defend him, the ones who knew him the most, his disciples, the apostles, we see here Judas is betraying him. In Mark chapter 14, verse 43, immediately while he's still speaking, I'm talking about Jesus, he already told them what was going to happen. Judas, one of the 12, came up accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs, who were from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now he was betraying him, had given them a signal, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away under guard." After coming, Judas immediately went to him, saying, "Rabbi," and kissed him. They laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword, struck the slave of the high priest, and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me, as you would against a robber? Every day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me, but this has taken place to fulfill the scriptures." And what happened? They all left him and fled. He stood without a friend. In John chapter 19, as we look upon Pilate, in John chapter 19, we see here that the murdering mob, if you will, He could release one. Pilate, of course, knew he wasn't guilty. Said, I find no guilt in him, and he was going to release. You can release a prisoner during that time, and Barabbas, or Jesus, and Barabbas was a robber, mentions in John's account, and the other accounts mention he was a murderer also. In John 19, verse 1, Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put a purple robe on him. And they began to come up to him and say, Hail, King of the Jews, and to give him slaps in the face. Pilate came out again and said to them, Behold, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him. Jesus then came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, Behold the man. And so we see here concerning the halls of Pilate, basically saying, he's not guilty. In Luke chapter 22, verse 63 through 65. Luke 22, in verse 63, this is after Peter has denied Jesus. In verse 63, the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him and beating him, and they blindfolded him and were asking him, saying, Prophesy, who is the one who hit you? And they were saying many other things against him, blaspheming. And so you look at everything that Jesus suffered through. When you are suffering, especially unjustly, and you want those that are going to be able to defend you. And yet, Jesus was there with no one to defend. When you think about that example of suffering that he had gone through, and you think about Jesus suffering and dying on the cross, and yet we know in John chapter 16, didn't have this on the screen, he said in John chapter 16, in verse 32, Jesus had said, An hour is come and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. And I think it's interesting when you think about the song that we sang in the Lord's Supper, as Brett had pointed out, you know, when Jesus had said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus was not forsaken, as we see was emphasized the truth in that in the hymn that we sang. The Father was still with him. Everybody else fled, his friends. Jesus tried, arrested, and condemned to death like a criminal, to be crucified, to suffer this cruel and agonizing death, and his disciples abandoned him. Oh, how terrible that was, that they all left him and fled. And you look upon his disciples, and you look upon the world also. The world may turn against him. I'll love him to the end. And while on earth I'm living, my Lord shall have a friend. And so you look at the world. In John chapter 12, as Jesus is performing signs, and Jesus enters into Jerusalem not long before he's going to be crucified. And this time, you know, he is very popular, and they're all praising him as he's coming to the feast, and Jesus is coming to Jerusalem, and they're all saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel, in verse 13 there. A few verses later on, here in John 12, in verse 19, the Pharisees said to one another, Jesus has performed a sign, You see that you are not doing any good. Look, the world has gone after him. You say, well, that doesn't fit in with the terminology here, right? They're looking at the situation in here. The world has gone after him. But you see how things change in just a short period of time. We read John 19, verses 1 through 5. And then in John 19, in verse 6, the chief priests and the officers saw him. They cried out, saying, Crucify, crucify. And of course, you know, Pilate didn't want innocent man to be crucified, but the religious leaders stirred up the people to say, let him be crucified. The world may turn against him. How am I going to respond to that? Now, it's interesting the terminology that is used concerning the psalm, because we look at the example of Jesus in John 13. The wording specifically concerning Jesus did love him to the end. I want you to think about the fact that Jesus loved them to the end, even though he knew that they were Judas is going to betray him, Peter is going to deny him three times, and that they were all going to leave him and flee. In John 13, in verse 1, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So we think about concerning that we love him because he first loved us. The disciples would have seen this example before them, and they don't understand, as Simon Peter is upset with Jesus, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" a few verses later. And Jesus said to him, What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. And Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." And so when you think about concerning the disciples, after the resurrection of Christ, we see that they are willing to love Jesus to the end. We see that they suffer the death of a martyr, except for the Apostle John, from what we understand with the scriptures and from history. Will we respond? Will we love him to the end? Mark 12, verse 30 and 31, "Hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." This should be our response concerning our lives. Christ has given his life for us. We ought to give our lives to him. We're living on this earth by God's grace. He has given us everything pertaining to life and to godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. His exceeding and gracious and precious promises, to whereby we are living now. And can we say, "My Lord shall have a friend"? Will we stand up for him, or will we flee from him when the persecution comes? We see again the disciples. Maybe we have done that in the past. Maybe we were ashamed of him. Maybe we didn't love him as we should. But the Lord has mercy towards us. We can get the forgiveness of sins. We can confess them. We can repent of them. And we can be right with God, as we see the Apostle Peter, after the Lord turned and looked at him, and he went out and he wept bitterly, and later on is preaching the gospel of Christ, and willing to stand up for the truth, willing to love Jesus until the end. Here in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, Jesus summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Be thankful as you look upon Jesus. Could have been ashamed of us all the times that we failed him. But hopefully, as you look upon what the Lord has done for us, that we can say, "My Lord is going to have a friend. I'm going to stand up for the Lord. I'm going to stand up for his word. I'll be a friend to Jesus." Even though all the world is rebelling against Christ, maybe your friends and neighbors and loved ones rebelling against Christ, maybe they're rebelling and mocking you, "I will love him with all every fiber of my being and take up his cross and follow him unto the end. I'll do what he may bid me. I'll go where he may send. I'll try each flying moment to prove that I'm his friend." What does it mean to be a friend to Jesus, to loving Jesus? Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," in John 14 and verse 15. in the next chapter. Think about how precious this is as you look on Jesus with his disciples, the love that he had for them. In John 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. What kind of friend do you want? Do you want a friend who's going to lie to you, gossip and slander you? Of course not. And yet that's what many people do. They want to be popular. And if you're going to be popular, you're going to be with those who are not your friends. They're going to try to get you in trouble. They're going to try to entrap you, to get you to curse, to swear, to drink, to dance, to fornicate, to do these sinful things. Our Lord always tells the truth. And telling his disciples, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Is there any greater friend than that Jesus laying down his life for his friends, those who'd be willing to submit to do his will? You look upon the apostles. I'll go where he may send. After Jesus is raised from the dead, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, even to the end of the world. Well, did they do that? Yes, as they went out and were told to preach the gospel to every creature, teach all nations. In Acts chapter 1, let's think about that great commission. In Acts chapter 1, after Jesus taught them for a period of 40 days about the kingdom of God, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. And thus they did so, going where the Lord had sent to preach the gospel. You think about the Macedonian call. We sing that song in Acts chapter 16 that recorded from. Come over to Macedonia and help us. And here the gospel is preached in that area and is able to flourish. As you think about the church at Philippi and how it started with Lydia and her household, the Philippian jailer in his household. And you think about from humble beginnings and to wonderful brethren who love the Lord, who are friends to Jesus and doing his will. In John 15 and verse 8, Jesus said, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so what? And so prove to be my disciples. We talked about the testing of your faith. We talked about the challenge. And here are the moments that are passing. How do we concerning prove to be his disciples? By bearing much fruit, proving that I'm his friend. Later on, here's the test here. Verse 18, John 15. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, notice it, the world would love its own. If you are a worldly person, the world is going to love you. If we claim to be a Christian and the world loves us, what do you think about the Lord? Friendship with the world is what? Is enmity with God. We make ourselves an enemy of God. In James 4, verse 4, we want to be friends with the world and do what they're doing. And well, Jesus is not happy with us. We're not his friend if we are just going to act just like the world. Why? Because you're of the world is going to love you. As he continues, he said, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world what? The world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. They don't know. Think about concerning being a friend of Jesus. When we are hated by the world, how do we respond to that? I demonstrate that I'm His friend by responding to His love with obedience. Obeying His commands, doing His will. Trying to save lost souls, even if the world hates me. Because you think about, well, I don't know. They might be offended by the Word of God. I don't know how they're going to respond to me. How are they going to be saved unless they're told? Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. I'll be a friend of Jesus by teaching the lost. To all who need a Savior, my friend, I'll recommend. Because He brought salvation is why I am His friend. Does everybody need a Savior? Everybody realize they need a Savior? Well, a lot of people think that they're saved, don't they? But everybody needs a Savior. God wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus, by the grace of God, tasted death for everyone. He brought salvation in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, you notice with the apostles, they're not taking credit for themselves concerning this, the healing of this individual at Solomon's portico, the lame beggar. In Acts chapter 4, when they're asked concerning by what name have you done this, in Acts chapter 4, in verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." No, Peter was not the first pope. And you think about what that does as far as blasphemy. And then Christ is head over all things of the church. Peter gave recognition, of course, concerning Jesus Christ for the healing. And the recognition is, you have crucified the Son of God. He wanted them to be saved. Of course, because the Lord wanted them to be saved. Because He brought salvation is why I am His friend. Be the case with you also. Because there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents and over 99 righteous who need no repentance. Maybe sometimes we forget that. We think about the multitude of people that are out there that are in sin and wickedness and evil. But one person, the Lord cares about that one person who repents. And so we're out there to help save lost souls. That's what Christ would want us to do. No greater friend than we can have than Jesus who died for you and me. Think about concerning without Christ, where would we be? We'd be hopeless and helpless and godless, wouldn't we? As Romans 5 and verse 6 and following teaches us. But I can rejoice and praise Him forever in heaven by serving Him faithfully, being faithful in the death and receiving that crown of life. In the chorus, I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life for Him I'll spend. I'll be a friend to Jesus until my years shall end. Can we say that? Will you be a friend to Jesus by obeying the gospel of Christ? It's not difficult to understand. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The evidence is very clear that He is the Son of God. He died, buried, rose from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures. Eyewitness testimony, the fulfillment of prophecy. Those who are Jews could say, hey, that never happened. We have the body. They couldn't produce the body. Jesus was raised from the dead. And this is how we know there's going to be a judgment day. In Acts 17, verse 30 and 31, all people everywhere need to repent. Change your will for God's will. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God before men. So I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you need to obey the gospel, why not do it right now? You can have the forgiveness of sin. You can be a friend of Jesus. You can live for Him. Will you spend your life for Him until your years shall end? Will you do that? Faithful in the death, receive the crown of life. You will never regret it if you do. What a wonderful thing that we can be a friend to Jesus by doing His will, no matter what anybody else says or thinks about us and hates us. We can serve the Lord. We can go to heaven. Are you ready for the judgment day? If not, God calls. We encourage you to come. Right now as you stand and sing.